the darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, in the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. In your opinion, what is the greatest commandment in the Bible? What is the greatest, the most perfect and wonderful, the pinnacle of all the commandments in the Bible? Take a moment and think back to all of your Sunday school lessons. Think back to the Ten Commandments. Think through all the laws that are directed to the nation of Israel. Think through all the teachings of Jesus, and think through all the words of the Apostle Paul in the epistles in the New Testament. Now, as you think throughout all these laws, which one is the greatest? Which one is the supreme command? Which one rises to the top? Are you thinking about the first commandment? You shall have no other gods. Maybe you are thinking about the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Or how about the fifth commandment? You shall not murder. What about one of Jesus' teachings from the Sermon on the Mount? Maybe you're thinking about one of those. Or maybe about the Apostle Paul, one of his statements in the epistles. What is the greatest commandment? In today's gospel reading, we heard that Jesus was asked the same question from a scribe. You see, the religious leaders, they were testing Jesus with the question of which commandment was the greatest. That is to say, these scribes and Pharisees, they had murderous thoughts about Jesus. They had hatred for Christ. And they were testing him, trying to trick him up with this question. So how did Jesus answer? He answered them by simply saying this, that the greatest of all the commandments is that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our entire mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, did you catch that? Did you catch that? He answered that the greatest commandment is to love. To love God and to love mankind, for love fulfills the law of God. Jesus, he did not go throughout the Ten Commandments and start ranking them in order from greatest to least, and he certainly did not go to all the rabbinic teachings, some 613 rabbinic teachings, and shuffle them around to organize them in a ranking order. But rather, Jesus, he summarized the law as being about love. Love for God and love for neighbor. Jesus was showing that love is the fulfillment of the moral law of God. Now, dear friends, what this means is that when we properly love God, we are actually fulfilling the first three commandments. And when we properly love our neighbor, we are fulfilling the commandments of 4 through 10. The reason why this is so, Love is the key. Love is the fulfillment of the law. In other words, Jesus was saying that when we properly love, we are fulfilling God's commandments. Therefore, to love God and to love our neighbor is the greatest because it is the greatest because love is at the very center of God's commandments. There's a very big problem with this, though. That problem is that it seems like everyone loves love. Let me repeat that. The problem is that everyone loves love. However, very few people actually understand what love is. In other words, Hollywood and television speak about love, but they do not completely understand it. Social media quotes and social media memes are constantly talking about the importance of love, but they rarely understand what love is. Wedding cards and high-profile weddings, they gush about love. They talk about love with the name love printed everywhere, but they really have no idea what really constitutes love. Tragically, we live in a time where everyone from Hollywood to Washington, D.C., from musical artists to celebrities, from motivational speakers to uninformed pastors, are talking about love while not really having the foggiest idea of what love is. Now, to complicate things even more, not only are many talking about love, but they're also imposing their view of love upon the masses. We are told that we must learn to love more and more and more, for love is that which offsets hate. In other words, we're told that we need to love in order to make this world a better place for everyone, as if love will make some sort of perfect utopia. As previously mentioned, though, those who are pushing the campaign to love more do not understand what real love is. They teach us that love is all about avoiding offense to someone else. However, my friends, this is not love. They tell us that love actively approves of what others are doing. However, this is not love. They share that love is quick to agree with our friends and our neighbors. However, this is not love. They express that love makes sure our friends can have their way at all costs. However, this is not love. They impress upon us that love seeks to be inoffensive and glorifies diversity. However, my friends, this is not love either. They gush that love is an intensity of feeling. However, this is not love. They say love is what makes us feel happy and fuzzy and warm inside. But this is not love either. They assert that love allows us to be free from hurt feelings and displeasure. And again, this is not love. They tell us that love blindly validates and approves of another person's dreams and aspirations at all costs. However, my friends, this is not love. It seems that there's a great confusion about what love is in our culture. It is indeed true that everyone loves love, but very few actually understand what it is. So what is love? Well, love, my friends, does not act the way that we might think. It does not typically operate the way that it is portrayed in Nicholas Sparks' movies or sung about in Beyoncé or Katy Perry's music or talked about on the Oprah Super Soul Sundays. It does not operate the ways that we would typically think. For example, love does its work secretly, and it hides its actions from the applause of others. It does not do acts of charity to be seen or known by others. Love, it is not boastful or arrogant. It does not seek to gain, but it seeks to give. It does not insist on its own way, and it is not irritable or resentful. Love does not make a lot of noise, rejoicing in the evil of others, but it rejoices and works for the truth. It pleads with people who are in error. It risks the possible offense in order to restore a neighbor in the freedom of truth. And finally, love does not hold on to its actions towards a neighbor as if it is keeping score, but rather it acts for others free of charge. Now, a little more specific, though, love is not the same as tolerance. It is not a floaty feeling either. It is not a romantic emotion. It is not a self-serving endeavor. It is not sourced in ourselves, but rather love seeks the honor of God and Him alone for our good and our joy. Love seeks the proper teaching about the Lord in accurate doctrine. Love seeks to remember the Sabbath and God's word. Love seeks to respect those who are in authority, like parents and governing officials. Love seeks to preserve life, especially those that are weak and insignificant, those who are unable to protect themselves in the womb and at the end of life. Love seeks to protect marriage from pornography and divorce and adultery. Love seeks to defend our neighbor's possessions, and it seeks to defend our neighbor's reputation. Love seeks to rest in contentment. What does this mean? It means this, that the law, yes, God's law, as we know it in the Ten Commandments, is not just a bunch of empty commandments, but rather it is the essence of what love looks like. And love, my friends, is not some floaty emotion or abstract buzzword on social media or some empty word on a church's mission statement, but rather love involves all the power of our body, our soul, and it involves all of our senses outwardly and inwardly. It involves all of our intellect and all of our reason, all of our thoughts, our words and works. It involves all of these dimensions focused on God and our neighbor. Love is ready to cherish our Lord God Almighty, and it is ready to serve our neighbor. Now, with all that said, if we are truly honest with ourselves at this point, we need to confess that none of us here today always keeps the law of God perfectly. The reason why is this, because none of us properly love. None of us perfectly love God and perfectly love our neighbor. Sure, we might talk about love, but in all truthfulness, we do not love the way in which the Bible talks about love. Who among us loves God perfectly? Who among us loves our neighbor perfectly? Instead of loving God and loving our neighbor, more often than not, we talk about a pretend superficial love, and then we proceed to love ourselves. This is how it is with our human nature. It is the way that we are built. It is because of our sinful nature. This is how it is with our sinful heart. Instead of loving God and loving our neighbor in the ways that the Ten Commandments express, we use our minds to dismiss the Ten Commandments, and then we invent silly and foolish ideas of what love is and what love is about. Maybe that is why our culture talks so much about love, because it knows so little about it. Either that, or we are trying to convince ourselves that our own ideas about love are actually true when they are not. Now, even though we do not love the way that we ought to, I wish I could give you good news that God drops the bar, but He does not. In other words, loving God and loving our neighbor is not optional. A life of love for God and neighbor is what it looks like to be a Christian. It is the calling of all humanity. God commands this. He does not lower the bar. He commands us to love Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, yes, absolutely perfectly. We're called to do this perfectly and all of the time. But you may be saying to yourself, Pastor, who does this perfectly? Who can love God and who can love our neighbor absolutely perfectly? Who does this? To be honest, no one. No one does this. Well, this is not exactly true, though. There was one who did this. There was one who loved God, the Father, perfectly. There was one who loved his neighbors perfectly. That one is not you. It is not me. That one who loved God perfectly and loved his neighbor perfectly is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ fulfilled the commandments absolutely perfectly because, unlike anyone else who has ever lived, he loved perfectly. Jesus' love was so perfect before God and mankind that his love led him to go all the way to the cross and the grave for you and for me because he loves us. Dear friends, we do not properly keep the commandments because we do not properly love. And because we do not properly love, we need to be properly loved ourselves. And how are we properly loved ourselves? We are properly loved by Jesus Christ. Dear baptized saints, perfect love for God and for mankind, it does exist. But it does not exist within you and within me, but rather exists in Jesus Christ, who is for you and for me. He is your Savior who pours out this love on you. Hear this today. Your sins and your lack of love have been completely forgiven. Your inability to fulfill the commandments have been forgiven 100% by the one who kept the commandments perfectly in your stead, Jesus Christ. And furthermore, we can never forget that he loved us to the point of the cross. The cross is his love in action for you and for me. Now there's even more though. You and I cannot properly love each other until we have first been loved. And the good news of the gospel is that we are indeed loved. The Lord has promised to continually create in us clean hearts and renew right spirits within us as he comes to us in his precious word and his precious sacraments. This means we do not have to despair this day. The Lord has promised. He has promised to strengthen your faith towards the Lord God Almighty, and he has promised to strengthen your love towards one another by delivering us and delivering to you his mercy and his love, his grace, his forgiveness, his life and salvation through the precious word and sacraments. Word and sacraments that are not just abstractly out there. They are word and sacraments that are for you personally, delivered to you, each and every one of you, because of the Lord's love for you. Praise be to Lord God Almighty that he loved us perfectly to the point of the cross. We say this and we confess this day in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.zionguinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.